Believe that he is here. Amen. This evening we're going to be talking about a thought that come upon my heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. I thought that was quite intriguing. And we'll read from Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith to he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are appreciative, Father, of this opportunity to be in your house, Father. We've joined ourselves together, one where you promised, Father, where one or two or three would be gathered, you would be in our midst, Father. Lord, we yield ourselves to you this evening, Father, that you may truly speak, Lord, the words that have already been spoken. Lord, we also pray, Father, that anything that shouldn't be said, Father, you close our mouths now. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Many of you know I am a little bit of a light bulb person, and when this thought hit me, I was like, it's an interesting thought that a man should think with his heart. And what does that look like? How do you know that you are thinking with your heart? And we'll let Brother Branham explain that. Hebrews 4:11-13, let us read. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of what? The thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God knows everything. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen. And in Matthew 9:3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? So you think with your heart. You can either think good or you can think evil. And they were obviously thinking evil. Why? Because they were of their father, the devil. Amen. And Brother Branham will explain some of this later. For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to arise and to walk. All right. In Making a Way in 56, Brother Branham says, now, in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who is not willing that you should not suffer to be tempted above that which you are able. But with every temptation also maketh a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. That is a promise. Whatever trial stands before you this morning, or this evening, should I say, God is not unmindful that he wouldn't make a way for you to get out. So that's what we pray for. We pray for God's leading to know how to get out of that situation. And he is obligated to show it to you. What a beautiful verse. May the Lord add his blessings to that. Making a way would be what I'd like to speak on tonight. You know, may he add his blessings to his word as we listen to the word. Amen. And from the greatest battle ever fought in 62, see, it's the inside. No matter how good you are, how moral you are, how truthful you are, those things are respected. But Jesus said, except a man be born again, see, there's got to be something happen on the inside. If you don't, that's artificial put on. So what are you doing with that? An artificial put on is when you're saved up here and not here. For down in your heart, you desire to do to do it anyhow. It can't be artificial. It's got to be real. And there's only one avenue that can come down, and that's the way, by the way, of free moral agency. Come into the soul by your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you say to this mountain, move, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. But if you believe it up here and not here, what happens? Is this from the greatest battle ever fought? Yes. This is the devil's playground. Brother Branham said, things will come into your mind. Don't let them linger. Shoo them away. But just because those thoughts come into your mind, say reason or doubt, you cast them out. You should be thinking from here. Satan will get in here and tell you, oh, you don't have your healing. You don't have your deliverance. Or he'll even try to talk you out of your salvation. You did such and shuts. There's no way you could be saved. You know better than that. Don't let him stay here. If God ever started a work in your life, he's obligated to finish it. If God ever started a healing in your body, he's obligated to finish it. All right. If you say to this mountain, move, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you have said will come to pass. Amen. And that's a thought that comes from the heart. You know, up here you like, man, how many millions of megatons a mountain must be? How could that move? I don't know. But if he told you to say it, or God revealed something to you in his word, then that thought come from here. Amen. You get it? There you are. See, there's the battlegrounds. If you'd only get that started first. And from an uncertain sound in 61, Brother Bram says, here some time ago it was questioned about Solomon in the Bible when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, then the scientist said, looky here, there's no mental faculties in the human heart. Solomon meant his head. Huh. If he had meant his head, he would have said his head. That's it. I believe the Bible to be just exactly the way it's wrote. I believe that's God's word. I believe it. It's God. It is God. God is no better than his word. You are no better than your word. Your own words is what is going to stand there to judge you at that day. And from Revelation chapter 4, part 2 and 61, Brother Bram says, now, what is a man? He is a triune being. He is body, soul, and spirit. How many knows that? Watch God's approach. What is his heart? You remember my message? God chose a man's heart for his control tower. The devil chooses this for his control tower. See, he makes him see things, look through his eyes, but God in his heart makes him believe things that he cannot see. Did he? See, God is on his heart. In the heart of a man is the throne of God. Amen? You get it? Man, God made his throne in the heart of man. Now watch. What's the first part of a man? The first part of a man is his body. The next part is his soul, which is the nature of his spirit. That makes him what he is. He approaches now. Now, the third part of a man is his spirit. And his spirit is in the center of his heart. And in the center of the heart is where God comes for the throne. That is a whole sermon in itself. Have you crowned him Lord of Lords? Have you placed him on the throne of your heart? Or is he sitting by the wayside as they depict and knocking, trying to get back in? You remember recently the papers give in Chicago about 4 years ago when the old unbeliever, used to say that God made a mistake through Solomon when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, said, there's no mental faculties in the heart to think with. How could he think with his heart? He has to. He meant his head. No, God meant exactly what he said. And from the Patmos vision in 60, the voice of many waters, fourth personage of him, the voice of many waters, how are you going to do it when it's recorded in glory? When the voice tonight is recorded, your voice is recorded. Not this one. This one. Your thoughts are recorded. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Notice, your voice is louder in heaven. Your thoughts are louder in heaven than your voice is on earth. Certainly it is. God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows all about it. He said to the Pharisee, you hypocrite, how can you speak good things when out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth? Calling me master and good, and I know I can look right through you and see that you're a hypocrite, and you don't mean that. Amen. And 60, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. Now, we reason with our mind, but the heart does not reason. The heart just believes. We look with our eyes, but we see with our heart, so we understand with our heart. Do you look? You say something complicated. You say, I just don't see it. You mean you just don't understand it. See, your understanding comes from the heart. You have your understanding. How many times, I know all Christians know this, that the people will think, well, it just can't happen, but yet in my heart there is something tells me that it's going to happen. Did you ever have that experience, you Christians? Sure you have. That's the inside man thinking. It casts down reasoning. It doesn't have anything to do with reasoning, because with God, words should not be reasoned. We cannot reason out God. God is never known by science. Never is God known by the mental powers. God is only known by faith, which is what? Revelation. Knowledge will never get a man to God. Knowledge takes him away from God. That's where it started in the Garden of Eden. There were two trees. One was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of knowledge. Man took his first bite from the tree of knowledge, and he separated himself from the tree of life. And every time he bites off the tree of knowledge, he continually gets further and further and further away from the tree of life, because he begins to think he knows how to reason it out. You cannot reason God. You got to come back to the simple tree of life and abide under there, eating the fruit of life. And from 59, looking at the unseen, Brother Bram says, some time ago the critics used to say that God certainly made a mistake when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But later they find out now that God was right. They said a man had no mental faculties in his heart. And that perhaps if God said that his heart, he meant his head. But God doesn't make any mistakes. When he said his heart, he meant his heart. Just like he does all of his other statements, they are perfect and they need no translation. They are just the way God said them, not for another age and not for another time. Amen. They are for right now. But for whosoever will, at all times, for God's word is perfect, everlasting, eternal, and he is eternal. So about 4 years ago up in Chicago, I was reading a great headline in the newspaper where the medical science had found a little compartment in the heart of the human being that did not even have a cell in it. It was not found in animal life. It was only found in the human body, the human heart. And they said it must be been the dwelling place of the soul. So then man does think with his heart. You look with your eyes, but you understand with your heart. When God made man, he made him thus. For he made this little certain compartment in the man for his own throne. Amen. His control tower. God wants to lead man, but man wants to lead himself. Therefore, there is a war constantly. The man wants to go after what he sees with his eye. That's where he's deceived. That's where Satan deceived Eve, by what she could see. The fruit was pleasant to the eye, to the five senses, to the body, but it was death to the soul. So is it today, tonight? God wants to lead man, so he made himself a little control tower in the midst of the heart, so that man would be led of the Spirit of God. Getting off on his own leading is what separated him from his fellowship. Looking what he could see with his eye. And that's where he stands yet tonight, all those who are led by such things. But the scripture says that the sons and daughters are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Your emotions is your control. And you can notice a man or woman that tries to walk after the things of the world, they never can please God. But a man or a woman that will not look at the things of the world, but go according to the leading of the Spirit, they're usually in the will of God. Amen? That is the great fight tonight. Satan took the eye and a man's head to control him by his head. God took his heart. Man is always trying to achieve something by his head. He's supposed to achieve, but by his heart. That's the control tower where God controls him and directs his thoughts, directs his walks, and directs his emotions. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I think with my heart. Yet your emotions and your reactions say otherwise. You blow up. You get mad. You stomp, you fuss, and you say you're a Christian. I say different. If you're controlled by your heart, you will walk as the Word of God says you should walk, patiently, considering all according to God's Word. The unity of one God in one church from 58, Brother Branham says, but when God comes to a man, he comes to his heart, and he lets him believe things by his heart through faith. Through revelation, that his eyes does not see. For the scripture says, the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are not seen. They're understood by the heart. God working here, Satan working here. So what does these big schools and seminaries do anyhow? It sometimes, not always, but too many times, it pulls from here up to here when it ought to be taken from here down to here into the man's heart. You know the scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The old infidel and the critic used to say how foolish God was to say that there was mental faculties in a man's heart, for there is nothing in there to think with. But about 4 years ago, science found out in the human heart, the thinking facility, that there is a little room, this place that's not even a cell, a little compartment in the human heart. It isn't in an animal or no other life. But in the human heart, there's a little place, and there never could come to conclusion what it was. But finally, they said this, it's the place where the soul dwells. So God does speak his words right. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not in his head. If God would have meant his head, he would have said head. He said his heart. So what if Moses, when he come up, and Moses, God said, take off your shoes, Moses, you are on holy ground. What if Moses said, now wait a minute, Lord, I know you meant my hat. I'll just take off my hat, that's more reverent. No, he never said that. He never said hat, he said shoes. And that's what he meant. Amen. From United Under One Head in 58, Brother Branham says, man works by his head and looks by his eye. See, the devil said to the woman, oh, the tree is pleasant. She said, it's good to look at. See, the same devil, if he can get you to stop for just 1 minute, he can make you reason it out. He can make you think with your mind. But God doesn't use a man's head. God uses his heart. God works on his heart while the devil works on his head. God chose the heart. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And from the Great Commission in 57, Brother Branham says, and as he thinks with his mind, he reasons. And the Bible said we must cast down reasoning. So if you're a believing Christ in the reason realm, how can you ever take his word when you got to cast that aside? And let the word that you have caught with your mind come down into your heart to a living faith. There's the faith. Let's read it again. And let the word that you have caught with your mind come down to your heart. And then what does it produce? A living faith. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, the Bible says. Said that the writer of this revelation, God speaking through him, the gold that has been tried and put to the test, there you are. So we have to cast out reasonings. Then if we believe God, we must be born again. And when a man is born again, his nature becomes of his parent. God has no reasoning powers. He just speaks, and it is so. And we become his children. No wonder people can't believe in supernatural. They have no powers to believe with. They try to reason it out. You'll never get it. You just believe it. God said so. That settles it. All things are possible. In 56, Brother Bram says, every man that did this sin had to die for it. And one day a slave committee committed this penalty, and he had to die. He brought him up before the king, and the king said, I am a man of honor. I keep my word, and you have committed according to my rules here in my kingdom. And being a righteous man that keeps my word says here that there is no atonement for that sin. You have to die. And the only thing I can do is take your life. And the poor fellow said, beginning to shake, he said, now, wait a minute. Said, straighten up. Said, what can I do for you before I take your life? This is the king talking to the slave. He said, the slave that was under the penalty of death said, I want a glass of water. And so the king said, give him a glass of water. And when he got it, the poor fellow fixing to have his head cut off, he was just shaking. He couldn't hold the glass. And the king said, wait a minute, straighten up. I'm not going to take your life until you drink that water. And he threw it down on the ground. Now, what's he going to do? Now, he is a man of honor. He has to keep his word. And his atonement said that his word says there is no penalty. There is no redemption for this sin. And yet the king has spoke and said that he wouldn't kill him until he drinks the water. It's impossible. He threw it on the ground. He said, that was a slip up on the king. I said, that's right. And you think God did a slip up? So what's the moral of that story? If God made you a promise and you hold to that promise, God is obligated to keep that promise. And he said, not include in the atonement when he put it in his word. I said, oh, brother, that's thinner than the broth made out of a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. I said, that'll never work. No, sir. God put it in his word. And it's for those who believe, only the believers. All things are possible to them that believe. Though we may not have faith enough, like the blind barber, told this to my dad here the other day. I said, if you are battling here, and you know that God has given you a promise, you keep claiming your promise until it gets from here to here. You say, well, that's not really how it's supposed to work. But God is a man of his word, right? It will work. Now, should we be to a place where we are from here to here and to here? Sure. And I want you to know this at the beginning, that healing does apply a lot to the person that's praying for you. That's right. I have seen that. That's right. But not altogether. It's your faith. It's the it's your revelation. Also, you've got to have faith. You've got to have revelation, which it in this little words that we're fixing to speak. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, there's a lot of difference besides having faith in the mind and having it in the heart. The heart is a different mental facility altogether than what is in your head. Amen. God provided a lamb in 56, Brother Bram says, but the reason, it's only the people are brought into an intellectual faith. If they would have gone on just a little deeper till that faith come from the intellectuals and soaked down into the soul, it would last. That's the Billy Graham revivals during Brother Branham's day. A lot of people mentally got saved. They come to the altar, they gave their life to God mentally, but they didn't let it soak down into the heart. So when you would return, there would be none there, or only one or two. If they would go on just a little deeper till that faith come from the intellectuals and soak down into the soul, it would last. That's the reason about 80% or 90% of the converts that come to this revival is gone before 6 months is gone. It's because they only have intellectual conception. But when it becomes an experience of being born of the Spirit of God, that anchors to eternity. Amen. Once saved, always saved in this quote. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed until the next revival. No. I just wanted to see if you was listening to what I was talking about. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed. How long? Till the day of redemption. That's right. Not breaking the seal. When a building is completed, or boxcar, I say, loaded, and the seal is put on it, don't you never touch that seal. You're in trouble with the government. And when God cleans out, by grace, all the unbelief out of your heart, where a man can look God in the face and realize that he's an offspring of God, he'll believe every word that God wrote in that Bible to be the truth. God will seal him into the kingdom of God by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. God said so. I believe the word. One great neglect among us, one great thing that we don't have much of in this anemic condition of the church, the condition at the church is failing here. And here's on one thing. We go too much upon evidence. Now, Luther said, the just shall live by faith. Excuse me. He thought he had it. Wesley said, when you've got enough salvation to get sanctified. Now, you good Methodists, that's pretty good. When you got enough faith to sanctify and get to shout Nazarenes, Pilgrim Holiness, Methodists, you said, glory to God, glory, we got it. But you found out you didn't. That's right. You done a lot of things after you shouted you oughtn't have done, backslid, went on back, you Pentecostals got to speaking in tongues, you said, oh, brother, we got it now, but you found out you didn't. God is love. And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, mercy. Where there's knowledge, it shall vanish. Educate your preachers as much as you want to. Where there's knowledge, it'll vanish. Where there's prophecies, it'll fail. Where there's tongues, they shall cease. But when that which is perfect is come, what are we looking for? We're looking for love. Which is love. It endureth forever. What is God? God is love. The second coming in 55. Now you can have an intellectual faith by hearing the word and perceiving it in your mind and accept it on those bases, which is intellectual faith. But the faith that Jesus was speaking of in St. John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Let's read that again. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent the Son has everlasting life. That doesn't come from intellectual faith. That comes from a born-again experience. So how do you get to the place to be able to think from your heart? Brother Branham says it right here. That comes from a born-again experience. Once you're born again, then you're thinking from your heart. He's born again. And from there comes forth his thoughts. His soul, not from his mind, but from his soul. Something that tells me that it's right. When his mind says it's wrong, amen, I hope you get it. You know it. Anyhow, now, what the mind says, what the doctor says, what the pastor says, you know it. Anyhow, it's in your soul. And when that soul is truly born again, you have Zoe. You have God's life himself in the man. That's the gospel to my thinking. Think about that. It's a little bit of a complicated paragraph. When the soul that is truly born again, you have God. You have God's life. You have himself in the man. You. That's the gospel. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not words. It's a life. You are displaying God's life. Dokes it, as Brian probably would say. The word become flesh in the India trip is really good. And I study backwards, so we're going from the bottom up. There'll be a whole other paragraph above this from 54. Well, this thought's changed. Something does it for him. Hallelujah. As a man thinketh in his heart, see, Christ, the Creator, come to him in a still form and created his own spirit. Took the man's nature away to love dancing and the world and to carry on. And from that time, he just laid it aside and was hungering after God. And God was in him all the time. It was God in the beginning. See, there you are. Amen. As a man thinketh. It has to become a thought before it can become a word. So how do we produce thoughts from our heart? Brother Branham talks about it right here. So it has to become a thought before it can become a word. And a word expressed materializes. So when the word comes in, you're born again. You have the thoughts of God here. They're expressed through here. And then they materialize out here. How do you know that's going to happen? Because you can only say what he said. His promises. There'll be his words coming from you. And how do you know that those words were right? They become materialized or manifested. We're sons and daughters that are manifesting, right? I believe with all my heart that I'm a Christian because I have accepted the Lord Jesus. If I don't cry, if I don't move, if I don't do a thing, in my heart first, I believe that Christ died for me in my stead. Amen. I accept it as a Christian. I believe it as a Christian. Then it's in my heart. Then I express it in a word. I am a Christian. Hallelujah. Then I start walking as a Christian. Then I'm talking as a Christian. Then I'm living as a Christian. How do you know that? And by my fruits, I'm recognized by the world as a Christian. Go to the world and preach what? The gospel. And how do they know that you're a Christian? Because you're manifesting God and His love. Amen? It's pretty good. Say, I don't aim to get that loud, but there it is, God's word. Jesus said, here it is. Oh, just tell me when I'm going too long. But well, Jesus said this, look, in the beginning, notice, see, a man as he thinketh in his heart. Now listen, what Jesus said, oh, if you'd only travel around and see the religious one that has to do this and the one that has to do that and the one has to do that. But brethren, let's let this old tabernacle one time, let's get straightened out forever. We are Christians by faith. We are Christians by revelation through grace, the grace of God. We are Christians. See, God in His infinite mercy called us to be reconciled to Him through who? His Son, Christ Jesus. That settles it. Now, what we done, what He did, He changed my soul from the things of the world unto the things of God. From horse races and gambling and adultery and lying and stealing. He changed my soul, changed my thoughts, and then my thoughts become so real till they become words in my lips, and they materialized, and now I'm a Christian. It made me a different person. That's what made you, see? Wow, that is deep. Now, if you got a double mind and you don't believe it, yeah, you say, well, I just wonder. You better watch out. See, then Satan comes in. You've done everything that we just talked about. Brother Branham laid it out. And at that time, you knew you're a Christian. But if you stop for 1 second and don't continue to move forward, you stop for 1 second and let Satan jump in here and start battling you, you haven't lost your salvation, but it'll make you do wrong if you listen from here to here. That's wrong. Here to here to here. You say, well, brother, I had a good time. I don't care how much good time you had. Say, well, I have shouted. That's good, but that still don't mean it. Say, I spoke with tongues. That's good, but that still don't mean it. You say, I've healed the sick. That still don't mean it. Amen. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day. Say, haven't I cast out devils in your name? Done mighty things? He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't even know you. Yes, sir. Paul said, though I speak with tongues and men and angels, though I have faith to move mountains, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and have not charity, though I have not love, though I not have God, I'm nothing. It is good to be, it's got to be a change. Here it is, a change of the heart, not of the physical thing, but the heart of your soul. So we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That little compartment that you're born with is corrupt the day you're born. Until you receive Christ and push that out, and allow God to come in and put up his throne, his control tower, as Brother Branham said. And something anchors till your thoughts, that's why it's dull. You don't see that no more. You just see the Lord Jesus. You see righteousness and holiness and purity and love and grace. That's when you've been changed. When it's a convert. What is a convert? Question. Convert means to change something over. And your thoughts, your habits, your being has been changed from a sinner to a Christian. First thing you know in your heart, then you express it with your lips, and then it materializes, and that's what you are. Amen? How did God create the world? Talked about this here about four sermons ago. He believed his own word. So when you express that to the people around you, to your brothers, to your sisters, I am a Christian. And then you go lie, steal, cheat. Are you? No. You had it here. But when you get it here, then those things that disturb you in your life, they go away. You react to adversity differently. I preach too much because then the trials start coming. I knew my trials were coming. One just come to us a few weeks ago. How will I deal with that trial when it arrives? Will it be negative, not positive, or will you truly rely on God and his word? Will you speak his word? Will it come from here to here to here and be manifested? Here we're going to go again on the India trip 54. This is going up from paragraph 172. What is a word? A word is a manifestation of a thought, is expression of a thought. Is that right? Before you say anything, subconsciously you think it before you speak it. Amen? Is that right? So in a non-believer's form, they think it up here before they speak it, right? In a believer's form, they think it here and then they speak it here. This has nothing to do with a Christian. So the negative thoughts that go through your mind, the things, unless they actually become manifest. So a non-Christian will have a thought, I'm going to steal a car. Is that a crime? The thought? No, it's not yet. But if you think, I'm going to steal a car, and then you go do it, what happened? Your thought, your word, become an expression. As a Christian, something comes to you out of the Bible, God's word, and you say, I'm going to speak to that mountain, and it's going to move. It's the same thing. Here. To here, to there. Amen? Amen? So in the beginning was the Word. That's as far as we can go back. By this, by theology. But before the Word was Christ, it was a thought. God had a thought. And that thought was made manifest. Do you see what I mean? Now, that's how he said, first, he thought and he spoke the word, and the word was made manifest. Oh, how infallible God is. Notice, every thought, when it is spoken, when Jesus, no wonder, when he came off the hill that night and looked around at that tree for food that should have had something on it, there was no food on the tree. He was hungry. And he said, no man eateth from thee. And he went on his way. I bet he didn't ponder on it too much. He's probably like a little irritated in a natural form. Stinking tree doesn't have any oranges on it. Nobody's going to eat from you. In his mind, in his heart, I don't think he meant that that tree would wither up and go away. But he spoke the word, and God honored it. And the next day, coming back, the tree had withered. God's mind. The mind that in the beginning, that was a thought before it was a word. That expressed Jesus Christ. The same one was expressing that word back again. See? And every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laying in seed form. That if received into the human being and spoke by the same thought that materialized the Bible, brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? That's us, brother, sister. The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a world, it had to be a thought. So God, in creation, created the world by his thought. First, then expressed, spoke it. And the thought expressed became material. See what I mean? Now, if that same spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, that said, let there be trees, and there was trees, and if the same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much could it say, let there be no cancer? Amen. And it would be gone. Amen. Let the blind eyes open, and it would be so. See? It's your thought, Jesus said. Verily I say, that was Jesus. But wait a minute. He said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved, pluck up and cast it into the sea, and doubt and don't doubt in your heart, not your mind, because Satan's like, that's neutrotons. There's no way that's ever going to move. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass. You'll have whatever things thou sayest. Amen. Is that right? You shall have it. Not me. You shall have it. What power has been given to the church? Amen. That now you can express it by a mental conception. But if it becomes a real revelation of God that sees it before it happens and expresses it in a word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material. A thought expressed from here. Oh my, how God could. See, your heart and your mind is so and filled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become his thoughts. What did Brother Branham tell Brother Vail? All of my thoughts are of God. We have to get there, brother. We have to get there, sister. Amen. There you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my, what kind of people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied and empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinions, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of church would we be? We are coming to a place, brother and sister, and don't be scared of it, that the Holy Spirit will come back to this church and it will clean house. But a righteous son, a righteous daughter will take that correction. Don't be scared. Fear not. There's a house cleaning coming, brother, sister. From the Expedition of the Seven Church Ages, a resume of the ages. In this age, the hatreds of the false vine increase. See, they have, verse 9, separated themselves from the company of the true. You don't got to worry about the unbeliever, the make-believer. They will leave. You brothers and sisters that have been in the message a long time have seen that time and time again. I haven't been in it half as long as some of you. They went out from them. They were liars. They called themselves what they are not. They called themselves Christians, yet they lie, they steal, they commit adultery. They misconstrue God's word intentionally to harm the body of Christ. They went out from them. They were liars. They called themselves what they were not. But did God destroy them? They look pretty healthy. They're still living on. God didn't strike them with lightning as soon as they walked out the door, did he? But did God destroy them? No. Let them alone, and both will go to the harvest. But Lord, they should be destroyed, for they are destroying thy people. They are killing them. They're robbing the blessings that should be for you. No, let them alone. But to my bride I say, be thou faithful unto death. Love me even more. We learn no uncertain terms that this false vine is the vine of Satan. They're gathering us of him, Satan. They meet in the name of God and they lie that they are Christ. They preach, they teach, they baptize, they worship, they partake of various rites given by Christ to the church, yet they are not of God. But since they say they are, God will hold them responsible in each age. He speaks of them and to them. They remind us exactly of Balaam. He had the prophetic office. He knew the proper approach unto God as demonstrated in the sacrifice of the clean beast. Yet he was not a true word prophet. For when God told him not to go to honor Balak with his presence, he sought to go anyway. For he was motivated by the lust for gold and prestige. So God let him go. The perfect will of God gave way to the permissive will of God because of the heart and the desire of Balaam. God actually said, go ahead and do it. Did God change his mind? No, sir. God had his way regardless of Balaam going. Balaam did not annul the will of God. God had his way regardless. It was Balaam who was the loser, for he bypassed the word. And today, we have that very same thing. Women preachers, organization, false doctrine, etc., and people worshiping God, manifesting in the Spirit and going right on as Balaam did, claiming that God has spoken to them, even when the commission received is opposite to the revealed word. And I will not deny that God spoke to them, but it was just like when he spoke to Balaam. That second time, he knew what that Balaam wanted, his own heart's desire above the word. So that's just not for clergy. That's not just for laity. If you desire in your heart to want something above and over God's word, he may let you have it. But is it right? No, and he'll leave you there. And after the destruction or the sin, and you continue on, he doesn't just kill you. See, I'm fine. And he gave it to him. Yet all the while, in the end, his own way. Even so, today, God tells folks to go ahead in their own hearts. Desire, for they have already rejected the word, but the will of God will be done regardless. Amen. I hope you see this. I will not only clear up much of what is seen in all of the ages, but it will especially help in this last age. That's for us. Which has so much manifestation and external blessings. So how do you know? You get word. That man laid hands on that brother and he raised from the dead. Does that mean that God's with him? And he still denies the word of God? Which has so much manifestation and external blessings when the whole period is so against the word revealed will of God. That's a whole sermon. I already put that in my notes. Isn't that a unique statement by Brother Branham? Think about it. It's the word revealed will. That's what we want. That's what we want to be walking in. That's what we want our thoughts to be. That's what we want our words to be. That's what we want our expression to be. And from the expedition of certain church ages, the Ephesian church age. But as usual, people don't heed God's warning. That revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful, and the manifestation of the Spirit is so blessed that a little fear creeps in and a whisper in the heart says, how can we protect this truth that we have? What can we do to see that this revival goes on? Can you say you see that today in our ranks? Brother Branham, the greatest messenger to ever come to the earth, and you get isms and groups, and they'll go, that revival fire, the manifestation, that little fear creeps in and it whispers in the heart, how can we protect this truth that we have? What can we do to see that this revival goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit comes in and whispers, look, you have the truth now. See? That it does not get, see that it does not get lost. Organize. Make an ism. And set up a creed in what you believe. Put it in a church manual. Do you see that? All over. And they do it. They organize. They add to the word. And they die just like Eve did for taking one word wrong. Now that scares people. Well, one word wrong and you're out. So we're going to stick to the tapes only. What did you do, brother? What did you do, sister? You put a period on it. You organized. Instead, the church, as Brother Branham said in the previous paragraph, we should be moving on. We should be coming one as Christ was with the Father. Oh, no, no, that was for Brother Branham only. No, it's for whoever will, he said in that paragraph. But people are scared of that. They don't want God in their life. They don't want God to rule what they do. They're comfortable where they are. And works faith expressed in 65. Well, now, brother, if the works of Luke, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, the promise of Jesus Christ just before his coming, that the world would turn back to Sodom and the messengers would go out. And the things would be done just exactly. If that isn't taking place, then don't believe me that I've told you the truth. But if it is taking place, then believe me that it's him. In the day the Son of Man will be revealed. Amen. The Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh. Can anybody read the next part? You people. The Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh. Did Brother Branham say that was him? He did. Only? No. You people, the church. Just exactly like it was before the days of Sodom. A called out group away from all of them. Setting out, believing the promise of God, glory. Then the works that the Holy Spirit is doing today by these visions, never failing, he's talking about his ministry, promises never failing, all the apostolic signs promised in the Bible of Malachi 4 and the Revelations 10, 7, and all these being fulfilled and proved by scientific every other way. And if you haven't told you, if I haven't told you the truth, these things would not happen. But if I have told you the truth, they will bear record that I have told you the truth. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the manifestation of his spirit is catching away a bride. Let that faith, that revelation, fall into your heart that this is the hour. It struck me today, Brother Brian, while you were preaching, this little quote right here. That revelation fall into your heart of how the rapture is going to happen. It's so simple, brother, sister, and it's going to go right through you and you won't even know it. The presence of God unrecognized in 64. But watch what kind of miracle this angel did that stayed with Abraham. Sorry, I got my editing messed up with a couple paragraphs. They should be in blue. But watch what kind of miracle this angel did that stayed with Abraham. He had his back turned and he told his name had been changed, called Abraham instead of Abram. He could not have a baby till his name was changed. Neither Sarah. He told them what their name was. The angel told them that. And he said that he was going to visit Sarah according to the time of life. What are we waiting for, brother, sister? Our name change. And Sarah laughed about it. And when Sarah laughed, the man that had his back turned, the man eating flesh of a calf and drinking the milk from a cow and eating bread, a man, dust on his clothes, a traveler, was God himself. And Abraham recognized it because he knew the thoughts that was in Sarah's heart behind him. Said, why did Sarah say within herself, how can these things be? Is anything too hard for God? See, and Sarah ran out and denied it. He said, yes, but you did. Now, he'd have took Sarah's life right there for her to disbelieve. But see, she is a part of Abraham. Who are we a part of? Christ. Every time that God has presented you with his word and you're like, I don't know if it's for me. He would have took your life right then for disbelieving. But because Christ paid that price, God would not take our life. Amen. And God would take your life as well, except we are a part of Christ. And our unbelief in this great manifestation in this hour, we're a part of Christ. He has to keep it. Amen. God does not go back on his word. Then Jesus came and called in 64. Now look, I haven't got time to call a prayer line up here. I'm going to call them tonight out there, if the Lord willing. The Master has come. He has come to fulfill his word in the last day. Amen. And what he was then, he is today. What his manifestation or identification was then, it is today. Because he is still the Word of God. Do you believe that? And the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And the way he did then is the way he always did. He is still the same. If he would do that just now, would you believe him? Would it make you believe him? He's doing it. Listen closely, brother, sister. How can I overcome? From 63. You know, Israel started out, I could say the same thing and bring it in here. They started out 2 million strong and ended up with 2 men, right? They saw the works of God. They saw the manifestation of the Spirit. They saw the great and mighty miracles being done in there in Egypt and everything and started out, but it wasn't in their heart. They didn't overcome. They just come out, and Jesus said, and they perished in the wilderness and are eternally dead. Every one of them is dead. That means eternal separation. Every one of them rotted in the wilderness. Why? Because it was not in their heart. They had it here. They seen Moses step into the water and the walls part. They seen the blood, the Nile turned into blood. They had it here, but they didn't have it here. Now, this is a final warning in the Church Age book. Revelations 2 and 23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. God looketh on the heart. That has never changed. Neither will it ever change. Here, as though all the ages, there are two groups, both proclaiming their revelation from God and their relationship to God. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And in 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord searcheth the reins. That's an interesting word. I'm glad Brother Brandon and Brother Bell explained it. The word search means to track or to follow up. So the Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. And he tracks them and he follows them. God tracks down our own thoughts, the reins. He knows what is in our hearts. He sees our works, which are a definite manifestation of what lies within us. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to Jesus, and in their heart they were evil. They had evil intentions. They wanted to kill him. But yet they were speaking like if they wanted to be buddies, you know, or try to get him to, you know, come on in. Evil, the reins of their heart. See our works, which are a definite manifestation of a lies within us. Well, what lied it was in those Sadducees and Pharisees was evil. It is out of the heart that proceedeth either righteousness or wickedness. Our motives, our purpose, all are knowing unto him as he watches every action. And every action, every word shall be brought into judgment. And when the accounting for our lives are given, there was no fear of God before the false vine, and dearly shall they pay. Let all who name his name so live as become us saints. We might fool the people, but we will never fool the Lord. And that's from the Thyatirian Church Age. All right, we're almost there. The stature of a perfect man in 62. I pledge this morning to him with all my heart that by this help and by his grace, I pray that I'll seek daily without ceasing until I feel every one of these requirements following in this little old stature of mine, till I can be a manifestation of the living Christ. For he became sin like me, that I might become righteousness of God like him. He took my place. Lord, let me take his now. because that's the purpose he died for. How many will pledge that same thing by the grace of God with our heads bowed now and our hands up? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart, Father, and see if that which is in us be pure. Lord, we buy of the tried gold, Father. Help us to apply that to our lives, Father, that we may be a true reflection of your life, Father, that you would have. The exact example, Father, that your Son had of you, Lord, we pray that we would have the same example. Lord, as we approach your table tonight for communion, Father, we pray that we put aside our sin, our shortcomings, Father. We place them under the blood now. Lord, we pray, Lord, that as we take of the bread and we take of the wine, Father, that represents your body, that those in this congregation, Father, that come to your table, Father, would be granted healing, would be granted deliverance, Father. We place our trust in you, Father. We thank you for the manifestation of your word. We thank you for the manifestation of the prayers that we bring before you now, Father, and we give you praise for the answer that will come. Lord, we lift your name on high. We give glory to you, Father. Help us to be that which is pleasing unto you and to be able to preach, Lord, to live that gospel around those that are around us, Father, that they may know you still live. We give you thanks now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you now, brothers, if you would come.